Bread. Could anything be more comforting and enticing than the aroma of baking bread? Some of you may know this from COVID. The kitchen is warm. That smell, there's really no other quite like it, is there? That smell is permeating not just the kitchen, but the whole house. And we're drawn to it like a magnet, aren't we? Somehow, even our primitive brains know bread is life-giving, something that will contribute to our health and well-being, something that will sustain us on our life journeys. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it when it comes to my personal relationship with bread. You may not believe this to see me now, but bread has contributed to my success in life. Puzzled? Could this be true, you ask yourselves? Yes, I have to say it is. I was not always the mild-mannered priest you see before you today. No, as a teenager, I was a fierce competitor in 4-H baking competitions at my local county fair, Linn County, if you care for those details. With much practice, baking and eating, I succeeded in winning a coveted purple ribbon for my yeast rolls. Now, this was more than just a ribbon for the scrapbook. It was a ticket to compete in the Oregon State Fair, a ticket to the big time, and a chance to compete against others like myself, bound for glory. On the appointed day and at the appointed hour, we gluten warriors gathered with our recipes, our utensils, and ingredients to face our opposition. And then the battle was on. Make the dough, shape the rolls, bake them just long enough. And then the nerves, while our noble efforts were judged. Sadly, I fought a good fight, but was not a winner. I think I got a second place ribbon. But just from the act of my participation in the process, I won in so many ways. During that time, I was honing my bread baking skills. Homemade bread wasn't as popular as it has become. Back in those late 1960s, what us kids in school wanted was Wonder Bread. Remember Wonder Bread? I bet some of you remember those ads too. Wasn't it something like Wonder Bread builds strong bodies 12 ways or something close to that? That's what the crowds are asking Moses and Jesus for in our lesson today, isn't it? Having been freely and generously fed, the crowds are again seeking the physical sustenance to keep their bodies strong. From their perspective, following Moses or Jesus seems to equal an open-ended meal ticket. They see God providing for the physical needs of God's people. Manna from heaven, a miraculous multiplication of loaves, all such that no one went physically hungry in either situation. But we're much more than physical beings alone, aren't we? Body, mind, and spirit. We too are triune in nature. Feeding the body eases the mind of worry, but what of the spiritual component? I could argue that that's the most important of all. And God has, as God always does, made provision for us. God provided the physical bread for the Israelites in the wilderness, not only to sustain them physically, but to demonstrate to them he was keeping covenant with them, providing for them, caring for them as God's own people. God is no less faithful to us as Jesus attempts to explain to the crowd who'd followed him across the sea looking for that next free meal. Jesus is pretty upfront here, isn't he? He names the fact that our search for him is rooted in the superficial satisfaction of our bodily needs. Let me be clear that I in no way mean to minimize what it is to be without adequate physical sustenance. But we, with the crowd in the story, can be easily distracted from our spiritual hunger by the requirements or desires of the physical dimension. It's certainly more pressing, but also often easier and less demanding to be preoccupied with the physical over the spiritual. Acknowledging we have spiritual needs can take us to some pretty scary places. But Jesus knows we are hungry, sometimes starving, on a level much deeper than just our bellies. And he tries to tell us there's a food available to us that will feed us at that level, will nourish us into eternal life. I've been using the pronoun us for the crowd because I think we're often every bit the crowd Jesus spoke to in our lack of perception and understanding of Jesus' words and what he's truly offering us. If we're honest with ourselves, we too know what Jesus knows. We are indeed hungry on that deeper spiritual level. But once we acknowledge the hunger is there, how do we address that need, that emptiness? What can we do to be fed? We may think we're called upon to earn that eternal bread, that if we follow an outline of specific steps, just follow the recipe, all will be ours. What must we do to perform the works of God? We repeatedly ask, don't we? And when Jesus replies to us, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent, whom he has sent," we often can't believe it's just that simple. Have you worn the shoes of the crowd that day? Been unsure or wary of this seemingly impossible requirement? Perhaps newly coming to the faith? Perhaps struggling to maintain faith while marooned in a spiritual desert? Know you're in good company. In fact, in our doubt, we have all at one time or another immediately asked for a sign, something to prove Jesus is who he says he is. For the crowd that day, I guess feeding 5,000 wasn't good enough. But how many times have we each asked for a sign while being blind to all those signs we've already received? Who'd have thought believing was harder than doing? But it can be, can't it? It can be very hard to have faith when we're in the midst of suffering a need or crisis. We crave a sign that someone's listening to us, someone's caring for us and about us. Jesus reminds us who really fed the Israelites and the 5,000, that all comes from God, who is faithful in all God's dealings with God's people. God does indeed care. In Jesus, God has moved beyond simply filling our bellies with manna or loaves. With Jesus, God seeks to feed our spirits, if we'll only allow it. Not to stretch a poor comparison too far, but God sent Jesus to be the wonder bread for our spirits. Through Jesus, God offers us the food that will nurture us, causing our spirits to flourish. Offers us the food that will allow us to be fruitful in the work of God for God's kingdom. Offers us the food that will embolden and sustain us in our discipleship. So, fellow crowd member, where do you find yourself today? Are you looking for Jesus to feed your belly? Are you willing to let Jesus feed your spirit? Are you willing to reach out in faith to accept that Jesus can and will provide for any hunger or thirst you're suffering in your spirit? This week, in your quiet times before sleep, upon waking, or during your prayer time, look inward. Who or what is feeding or not feeding your spirit? Can you say Jesus truly is your bread of life? Is it time for you to say or say again with the crowd, "Sir, give us this bread always"? Amen.